Hello and welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, with me, Shefali Shah, a listening and spoken language CERT AVT professional. As the excitement around the birth of your little one subsides, the reality of raising this little being can be both exhausting and bewildering. What do you even say to this little person? So if you're wondering how your baby or young child learns to talk or will learn to talk, this Sound Steps podcast is for you. Yes, these conversations are rooted in my practice with babies and young children who are deaf or hard of hearing and the families who raise them to listen, learn and talk via auditory verbal therapy. However, they are equally applicable to all young children developing early and fluent spoken language because auditory verbal therapy is modeled on natural patterns of development. So come have a listen. As they said in the lyrics of The Sound of Music, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. So I thought that the best way to open these conversations in auditory verbal therapy on the Sound Steps podcast would be to begin with those early days following diagnosis and the identification of hearing loss in your newborn, infant, or very young child. I'm very grateful to all those families and children at Sound Steps with whom it has been my absolute privilege to have worked, and especially to Priyanka Mahapatra, Pragnya Madhavi, and Megha Mawandya, for sharing those very raw emotions as they reflect on the eve of their child's graduation from the Sound Steps Early Intervention Service. It's not easy to talk about one's helplessness at the time, even if it is in the past. And so I am especially grateful to them. And once again, welcome to the Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy. The show notes below following each episode with their top tips and timestamps allow you to revisit these conversations. And if you need my help in any way, the links given below will help you reach me. 90% of deaf or hard of hearing children are born to hearing parents who have little or no knowledge of deafness. Understandably, many of these families want to raise their child who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn to talk via listening alone, just like they did. Sophisticated hearing technology and the early identification of hearing loss make this possible. The Sound Steps podcast, Conversations in Auditory Verbal Therapy, shares conversations that I've coached parents through to facilitate their deaf or hard of hearing child achieving his developmental milestones and smoothing out bumps along the way, all of which are so essential to bringing your child who is deaf or hard of hearing to age-appropriate or ahead-of-age development, ready to graduate from early intervention services. This show culminates in celebrating the accomplishments of these energetic teenagers and emerging adults as they revel in the abundant choices that have opened up for them as a result of being able to participate in a hearing world. So come have a listen and experience the joy of raising a baby who is deaf or hard of hearing to learn, think and talk via listening alone, via auditory verbal therapy, knowing that with early identification, sophisticated modern hearing technology and appropriate services, your child too can enjoy life in all its fullness, free of limitations. So welcome. Your perfect life just exploded with the recent diagnosis that your newborn is likely deaf or hard of hearing. While part of you is convinced that this is all a terrible mistake, a monumental bungle by hospital staff, the other is secretly reading up about hearing loss. What you need is a route map to help you navigate your way through this maze. The first step is to identify how you wish to raise your newborn. This is an informed choice that you must make with your partner, and this will determine which professionals you must identify and be guided by. That will take you to the all-important steps of what to do next and how best to do it, for which you will need the knowledge, the experience, and the skills of the professionals you have chosen to collaborate with. If your choice is that you wish to raise your baby to listen, learn, and talk like you did via listening alone, you will likely choose auditory verbal therapy as your method of communication for your child. Put simply, that's it. All doable, not because I say so, but because so many others from across the world, some of whom you will have the opportunity to listen to in this episode, have done exactly that. And they are getting on with enjoying their life with their child who is deaf or hard of hearing. Make an informed choice with your partner of how you wish to raise your child. Identify the professionals who you will be collaborating with along this path. And finally, do it. Follow their guidance on a daily basis. But that's not what this episode is about. This episode is about those early days which make you feel so wretched and so alone.
As I reflect back on the last 4 to 5 years, it seems like a roller coaster ride with lots of ups and downs, perhaps more downs than ups. From the time that Prakit was diagnosed with hearing loss, he has been our single most focus. And from when he was a 6-month-old baby, taking him to numerous audiological testing, visits to various ENTs, therapists, audiologists, it's been a, frankly speaking, emotionally and physically draining experience. And when you see your 18-month-old child on a operation theater table, it can just be heartbreaking. Work and visits to ENT, therapy, and so there was hardly any time for myself. But then at that moment, it seemed like, oh my God, when is this whole thing going to end? Or is it ever going to end?
You can't talk to your partner because that would be confronting your worst fears. You can't talk to your parents because that would upset them and make them feel that here you are, an adult who still needs them to take care of you. And you certainly can't talk to your friends because they wouldn't understand. So here you are, back to feeling completely alone.
I was in a very dark place when I started coming here to Sound Steps. I had just learned my daughter had a hearing loss, and I knew nothing of this world. I started to learn a little sign language online. And with each sign I learned, I would just cry harder. Communication meant everything to me. And communicating with my child in a language that was not my own was not how I envisioned my parenting journey to be.
Now, I'm going to say 3 things bluntly. The first is there is darkness right now. However, know that it is transitory and it is fleeting. Know that it will pass. 2 is the only way to dispel that loneliness is to act and to act now. And 3 is that you will go through a period of feeling alone in these early days. And that's what this episode is about.
I felt helpless rather than being...
So how did you cope with that feeling?
I think my husband has been my greatest strength in terms of we've been helping each other out. Whether whenever I was low, he kind of, you know, he made everything, he did everything to make me happy, and vice versa. So today when I see Prakrit mixing and mingling and playing with his peers, I feel that all the efforts which we have put and each of the sacrifices that we've made in the last 5 years, they basically seem to have been worth it.
So congratulations if you and your partner have made the choice to opt for auditory verbal therapy for your child who is deaf or hard of hearing. You've identified the professionals with whom you wish to collaborate, and you have commenced auditory verbal therapy wholeheartedly. You've thrown yourself into it, and yet that feeling of being alone just won't go away. Now, I'm going to say something perhaps you haven't heard before, and that is that for some, this feeling of being alone persists for a while in those early days. You may have an excellent relationship with your partner, and all of a sudden, you find yourself to have come to an impasse. He or she very much wants to participate in the entire process of follow-up through auditory verbal therapy. They attend the sessions. They are very attentive. But yet, at home, it just doesn't translate into participation. And as the initial enthusiasm wears off, and there is just exhaustion from being a young mother with sleepless nights, constant feeds and diaper changes, and perhaps more than one child to look after, as well as work, it does get lonely, not just exhausting. My only counsel to you is resist the temptation of getting into a blame game, because that is just a spiraling vortex just waiting to swallow us up. Understand that sometimes people react to difficulties in different ways. And though they seem emotionally very intact and very strong, they are unable to come to terms with the current difficult situation that they find themselves in. They're just not able to give of themselves to this baby whom they absolutely adore. Trust that he or she is devoted to your newborn. They're just unable to bring themselves to the point of collaborating with you, meeting you more than halfway, and participating in the therapy on a daily basis. It's just, for some, it's just too much work. Or when they try and they don't quite get the response that they thought they should or they had expected, or it seems just too much of an insurmountable obstacle that has them paralyzed. There will come a stage, though, very soon, with competent guidance from your LSL professional or auditory verbal therapist and your diligence, there will come a time when your baby starts to understand more and more. She starts to respond. It might be just a look in the eyes. It might be a resurgence of the babbling that had disappeared following the diagnosis, because there was no system of amplification to get that precious sound into your baby's ears, which now returns. And there is just the joy of being with this adorable little being who is beginning to be responsive. And that is often sufficient to trigger the participation of your partner that you have been waiting for. For others, it might take a while longer. Your child might have to come to the stage of being consistently verbal or becoming verbal in order for your partner to feel that he or she can actually come into a conversation with your child, into a conversation that he or she feels your child understands and is sufficiently responsive enough for him to want to continue to interact with her. Whatever it is, and whenever it comes up, celebrate without rancor, without resentment, without the "I told you so" and the acrimony of all that past pent up isolation and resentment and just misery and wretchedness. Let it be that you both look upon each other, your relationship, and your life together as a family in a completely new light, in the light of celebration that this child, who is deaf or hard of hearing, is going to be as much of a chatterbox, as convivial, and as full of beans that your other children are, or the child that you always dreamed of. Listen to this mother encapsulate what I just tried to say. She does a far better job than I did.
It's an enriching experience that I have put everything that I knew, all my knowledge, to the best of the ability. I mean, whatever science knowledge or a science background I have, I couldn't have put it to a better use. That the time is invested well, and probably nobody knows about it. So it's like, okay, this is my own. Right. Yeah, it's a, like a secret that I even if I tell them about, okay, you know, my boss would know about it. But it's like they really don't know. I mean, it's just that they get to hear the ice, you know, tip of the eye. Yeah. They really don't know what has gone behind it. And two of my friends actually called once I joined, and when I told them, it's like, it's the, you know, the best thing that you deserve, that, you know, after such a long fight for a long, long time, that you deserve to be where you are now. Yeah, I feel proud of what both of us have done for Manas and the lives, because when I look at other kids, I mean, they're all normal. They just had like a normal life, but they still don't have sense of a lot of things, and they're missing out on so many things. When Manas goes out in public, in social life, and then people just don't stop talking about him. They're like amazed. I mean, forget about he being a hearing impaired child being able to talk. Even if they didn't know anything about his hearing impairment, they're just amazed of the fact that, okay, the child is so confident, he can talk to anybody.
At this point, or maybe a little later, family members who were sitting on the fringe up till now, friends who weren't quite sure what you were up to or were perhaps insensitive to your long absences from your social meets, will begin to want to get back into touch with you, will want to spend time with you, because you are just so much fun and your child is captivating. A family comes to mind in which the grandmother was very much sitting on the fringe. Nothing that the mother did was good enough or sufficient. Nothing that this child could do or say or listen to or hear was sufficient. Until one day, this child was a toddler, very verbal, very engaging, and just a happy child. And there they were at a family gathering. And the grandmother mentally did a comparison between this grandchild and her behavior and her personality as compared to the other grandchildren in the family, and confided in her friends how this little girl was now her absolute favorite, And that's the way it still is with that grandmother. Sometimes support can come from unexpected quarters. I have to share here this really touching note that the class teacher of one of the children whom I've had the privilege to have worked with wrote and listened to what the mother had to say and the support she and her husband have received for their child over the years. I can't quite tell it the way she does.
I was like amazed by what she said.
It triggered something. It just triggered a whole, it was really amazing. She's the one who, she keeps saying, the moment she meets me for the PTA, she ends up like melting in giggles because she said, he's so funny. And I think he keeps the class laughing. He entertains them. And
I'm just going to call it up 1 minute over here. Of course, she wishes him advanced happy birthday. And then she says, your perseverance has not just improved your performance in my subject, but has taught me the true meaning of learning. It's like, wow. You've transformed challenges into opportunities and your progress has been a joy to witness. Keep believing in yourself. Your future is bright and I'm honored to have been a part of your learning path.
Oh.
Quite something. Thanks for sharing it because I would save that for a long, long time. I think it'll go into my little memory book forever.
Yeah. So the message that I would like to pass on to other parents who are raising children with hearing loss is that no matter how things seem unbearable and uncertain at the moment, you just have to hang on there. And your efforts will pay off. And even if they don't, even if you don't achieve what you had set out to, you would at least feel that you've given it your best shot. And the other thing that I want to convey is that one should never compare your child with another, whether hearing or with a child with a hearing loss, because each child is unique. Has his or her own pace of learning and is being brought up in a different circumstance. And so once you realize and accept that your child has this pace and you try to synchronize your efforts with the child's pace, it would be that much easier for you to see results and would be fun for your child as well.
So trust in yourself, trust your partner, trust your child and trust the process and have a listen to that same mother who talked about being in a dark place. Listen to what she has to say.
So thank you, Sound Steps. Thank you for leading me through the darkness and helping me find my light. And thank you for giving me the dream of communicating with my child in a language I'm comfortable in.
Build your team. There is support waiting for you. You are not alone. You never have been. It's just sometimes it takes a little longer to get to the light. But get there we have, and get there we must. But most importantly, get there we shall. So the one thought I'd really love to leave all of you listening to this episode is that in the initial days following diagnosis, there can be that feeling of being completely alone or being completely wretched and miserable. But know that does not have to be a permanent state of being. There is happiness and there is normalcy of life just waiting for you. But we have to take and turn that corner. And that's what this episode is about. And you have the next episode to look forward to, in which I am partnered by dads. So make sure you don't miss it. If you enjoyed this conversation and are looking to support your deaf or hard of hearing child at Soundsteps, whether in person or online with me, Shefali Shah, contact me at soundsteps.uk. If you are looking to train in auditory verbal therapy with me via my accredited and entirely online LearnAVT course, then do contact me at learnavt.com. Until then, stay chatting with your child.